You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 53, the first episode in the second year of the show. Hope everyone had a good 4th of July weekend, especially if you're in the United States. If not, if you had Monday off, hope you had a good Monday off. But it was pretty relaxing for me. Visited some family, and that's about it. So there's that. Otherwise, not too much else going on as far as changes to the show. In case you guys missed it, I'll do a quick summary in that the You Can Relax segment at the end of the show is now an official segment, so look out for that. For every episode, I was adding it to the past few episodes just to make sure, see if it's something that I could continue doing and if it's something I would be able to continue doing. So there is that. There are also a few updates to the Patreon, so supporters get early access to content now as well across a couple of different levels. And then there's still a few other levels there as well, things like the Android app, removing ads, Q&A segment, and that sort of stuff. So the username is PatelN01 on Patreon. I think it's patreon.com/PatelN01, but as always, that link is in the show notes for the episode. So definitely help to support the show if you like what you hear, want to get at early access to stuff, and help this show and network expand and grow. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's episode. Not too much for the first half of the show, or the first segment at least. I'll have the theme and some news. That's really about it. I didn't have a chance to review anything specifically this week. A game was released. I was going to review it, but I didn't really have much time to play it, so I can't say too much, but I will talk about it a little bit in the news. So with that, I'll jump right into it. So to start it off, for this particular episode, the theme is subsequent events, or subsequent events. These are transactions that occur after the date that the balance sheet is prepared, but prior to that, the actual release of the financial statements themselves. So you might be asking why this is important, or why this kind of event exists. And this is to provide additional information on transactions that may be material enough to the transactions on the financial statements, but were otherwise not included to begin with. So a material transaction briefly is something that, or the transaction or item on the that affects the financial statements but was not reported but is big enough to make a difference. So for example, if you bought a new company car, that is material because it does cost several thousands of dollars, or tens of thousands of dollars, so depending on what model you get, so that can affect it. Or if you bought new computer equipment, or if you bought enough furniture for the company that would make an impact, then that would need to be reported and otherwise stated, because it's making an effect on the investment into the company. So things, simple things like, let's say you there's an expense report for $5 for some pencils or something. That's not necessarily material enough, but when you make the transaction, whether it's in the current quarter or the prior quarter, depending on if the books have been closed, you may make the note that this is for an event that happened in a prior period. Here's what, and this is when we found out about it, so we're recording it now. So especially if the prior month has been, or the prior period has already been closed, you cannot go back and change it, so you'll need to make notes explaining why this transaction is being recorded now. This is of importance also because a subsequent event will occur because additional information was not available or was not known prior to the initial release of the financial statements. So, for example, someone might have been out of town, or it was not otherwise forwarded because it was missed, or they didn't have enough of the backup to provide that information. So, let's say a order was in the works, but it was not placed until a future, or until the current period, it's going to still be booked in the current period, even though it may have been placed in a prior period. So maybe it didn't get processed properly, or because of a variety of reasons it was not processed, it is now going to be affected in the current period. but may have been necessary for a prior period's number. So there's a number of different cases where a subsequent event is occurs, but it all depends on the materiality of that transaction, and that information may needs to be classified and presented, or needs to be presented in order to provide an accurate representation of the figures. So with that being said, I'll jump into this week's tech news. So to start it off, EA released a new game to Google Play called NBA Live Mobile. So if you want to play your own or play in another NBA game or play an official NBA game, then this is now available. Google Now on Tap got updated to now be able to translate from any screen. So if you have a Bluetooth Marshmallow or newer, or Android device running Marshmallow or newer, you should be seeing this update soon, so you don't have to leave whatever current screen you are on to translate text in a different language. This week, Niantic Labs released Pokemon Go for Android and iOS. So while it's out of beta, it did have its issues, especially on its initial launch. So essentially, if you've played the game Ingress, or if you wanted to play Pokemon as if it was in the real world, then Pokemon Go is the game to play. It is available for free on the Android side. You can log in via Google, or I think create your own other separate login. I'm not sure on the iOS side, but essentially once you install the game, you've signed in, you will sign in, you'll get a brief overview of what Pokemon is. Then you'll create your character, and then you'll go ahead and start playing the game itself. It has been hit or miss for me since I got the game, mostly because of the server downtime. And it's really annoying that they were unable to get the servers working at launch, especially since I think a similar thing was happening with Miitomo, what Nintendo released a few months ago. And I know the issue there was especially on rooted Android devices, that they're checking for rooted devices. I'm glad that they did not do that here. But with servers not being down, it's a tough launch to get through. So if you're having issues, you may see that, but I haven't really gotten too far in. I know some people who have been able to start playing, and others who have not, so it's still hit or miss. So if you want a smooth experience, I would probably say wait a couple of days, but if you want to give it a shot, see what happens, then it is available already. And finally, Final Fantasy VII has been released to Android. It's already available on iOS, so if you want it on the Android side, it's now there. I think it still costs the same. It was like $15 or $16, but don't quote me on that. But if you want to replay Final Fantasy VII on your mobile device, it is now available. So that's really all there is for that. So after the short break, I will jump right into this week's entertainment segment. So for this week's entertainment segment, not too much going on, just a couple of bit of news items, a lot of what I watched. So that's really about it. There wasn't any too much going on in the news segment since I didn't review any apps or anything. I figured I'd cover it with more watching more stuff. So there's that, and then I'll have a film review, which I had a chance to watch, and then round it out with the Star Wars profile. So to start it off with the entertainment segment, Amazon made a deal with Warner Brothers to release their titles to the Amazon streaming service. So look out for them over the course of the rest of 2016. So shows like, or movies like Ocean's 11 and whatever other Warner Brothers properties will slowly becoming to Amazon Prime. Otherwise, Audible released a new app called Audible Channels. It's available for for iOS, Android, and I believe Windows Phone or Windows 10. I'm not sure. I didn't check which, but on the Windows platform. Basically, what this is that it's a way for Audible customers to listen to short form shows and podcasts while using their service. So it does still require a subscription, in case you're wondering about that. I think it's probably still available or eligible via their 30-day free trial, but don't quote me on that. But if you want to, or if you don't have time to listen to books but want quality shows and podcasts and things like that, then it may be worth checking out. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to watch Kung Fu Panda 2 and 3. I still haven't seen the first one, but since who I was watching them with saw the first one already, we decided to start with the second one. And I will say that I like the third one a little bit more than the second. I wasn't sure if I was just tired or the second one bored me that much, but I fell asleep in the middle of the second one. And yes, I know it's only like an hour and a half or something long. But somehow I just enjoyed the second one more, so I'll go with that. Maybe if it comes up again later, I'll watch it. But at the moment, not too bad a movie. The animation was done well. Voice acting was good. Done by people you know. So if you like animated shows, or if you have children there, I would recommend them. For our fourth, or I also had a chance to watch Terminator Genesis, or rewatch it. I figured I was on Amazon Prime, so I'll give it another watch, see if I like it any more or less. I don't remember everything I thought of in the first viewing of it, but I do remember it was something along the lines of they took the Terminator, the first movie in the franchise, and added everything else to it. And that's kind of what I felt this time around. They started with Arnold going back in time. They went with the Terminator from the second movie, the abilities from the third movie, and all of that. And then they added more of the time travel element. So if you're into the movies, you'll like it. If you're not, then you probably won't. It's not a good or a bad movie either way, but it's just a movie. I also had a chance to watch Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Another movie that was not too bad. The acting was done really well, not too much as far as Star Trekiness. It's basically the one where they destroy the Enterprise to save Spock, and they figured out how to fly a Klingon bird of prey. So those were probably the highlights of the movie. So it doesn't really make too much sense for this movie if you don't watch or have not seen Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, or Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. So next up, I'll probably watch Star Trek IV. I saw Star Trek II recently, so might as well complete that trilogy of movies. And of course, next up, I had a chance to watch Saw 3D, The Final Chapter. I did see it in 2D. For me, since it was available for streaming and I had not seen it, I finally got a chance to finish watching all of the Saw movies. It was pretty good. It was a lot more gorier and a lot more traps than most other movies. I figured they were going to go all out, since at the time it was supposed to be the last Saw movie. And of course, right after I saw the movie, I saw an article saying that they're looking to have Saw 8 come out in, I think, 2017 or middle of 2018. So we'll see what they can do there, or what they do with that movie, or if they're going to reboot it, or how they continue, or if they're going to even continue with the doctor guy from the first movie to begin with. So overall, I'm glad I finished watching all the movies. As far as horror movies go, for me, it's probably one of my preferred movie franchises. So I know they took a dip in the middle, but not too bad of a franchise, I thought. I may rewatch some of the ones in the middle, mostly because I think from 3 to 6, I didn't really remember too much of what happened there. I know I've seen them, but I honestly can't recollect what happened. So Saw 1 and 2, definitely I know this one, and of course, since I just watched it. I also had a chance to watch Hackers, the movie from 1993. 95 or something like that. Since it was streaming on Amazon Prime, I was on a flight home, so I needed something to watch. So I rewatched it. I enjoyed the movie. The graphics, or the computer graphics and tech, are of course out of date compared to today, but it was a tech of the time, so it sort of fit. The only thing that really didn't fit was the 3D interface and the dial-up connections they were using, mostly because the UI that they were showing didn't really match the abilities that the connection speed would have. So on a 28.8 kbps modem, what they were trying to do didn't seem like it would make much sense, unless you were on the local server or the local internet to begin with. So I'm not sure. I guess it was kind of a leap of faith anyways, but the UI I didn't really have a huge deal with, except for when they were remotely connecting to it via telephone line. I was like, even now with connections, now that we have issues, so I don't know how they managed to do it at the time. And finally, I had a chance to continue watching Preacher. I watched season 1, episode 6, Sundowner. overall, it was a decent episode. I did enjoy it more. It's more of questioning what the preacher should do with his powers, how he dealt with the two angels who came and told him about the power. So, I mean, we all knew going into it that he's going to want to keep the power. It would be a really short show if he said, no, I'll give it back. I don't really want it. So it's slowly getting more intriguing. So I will continue watching it. I'm glad that they picked it up for a second season so we have more room for the characters to grow. So that's all there is for that. So as far as the film review for this week, I had a chance to watch Independence Day Resurgence. I didn't really want to go out and watch it. I wasn't originally planning on watching it, but everyone wanted to see a movie, and more people had not seen this and had not seen other movies, so we went for this. I knew going in that it wasn't rating very well. For me, I'll get into this more, but it was kind of 50-50 still. But to its credit, it didn't really do anything too far out or too different than the first movie. So with that, I'll jump right into it. The movie itself released on June 24th, 2016 in the United States has an approximate runtime of 120 minutes. A brief summary of the movie is that two decades after the first Independence Day invasion, Earth is faced with a new extrasolar threat, but will mankind's new space defenses be enough? Before I get into that, but the IMDb rating of the movie is 56%. On Rotten Tomatoes, it's getting an approximate critic score of 31% and audience score of 37%. So, in general, no one's really liking it. If you're going into it, either you're going to... It's probably pretty safe to say if you go in watching it, you're either going to like it or you're not going to like it. For me, I would probably put it in that 50 to 60% range, but I'm also I'd probably give it a slightly higher grade of maybe in the 70 to 80% range, just because if you watch the first one and you watch this one, you kind of know what to expect going into it. They didn't do too much different. It's kind of basically they just upgraded the threat, made the threat a little bit bigger, and ran with it. With that, I will jump right into the review. So to start it off, is it inconceivable that the aliens would send a probe this time to test our defenses and weaponry? So early on, what I originally thought was just a probe turned out to actually be the saving grace for the humans. But for me, when an alien invades, it doesn't seem too far-fetched that they would send a probe, either, years in advance, like for maybe even, for example, the first force was a invasion force, but also a testing force to see how well equipped the planet is. But wouldn't they want to see what's going on before they actually attack and they can better prepare their defenses? So it's kind of not like it, to me, it seemed like everyone was surprised that they found that this thing, this probe sphere thing was coming towards them. But to me, it was like, yeah, well, obviously, I'm sure, like with unmanned drones and things like that, you want to find out what's going on in enemy territory before you attack. So it's not too unreasonable that aliens might do the same thing. Next up, we need better security. If a person who's not supposed to be flying anything can walk onto the vehicle and fly it into space without setting off any alarms. So I forget which Helmsworth brother is in the movie. I think it's Liam Hemsworth, but he didn't follow orders when he went to save the the moon base gun thing. But if he's not supposed to be flying any planes, I'm surprised. To me, it seemed kind of weird that he can easily just walk into the hangar bay and start flying a plane and no one says anything. I mean, wouldn't they want to keep her protected, or wouldn't they keep him locked up or in a particular area so he can't do that thing? To me, it just seemed like a weird security violation and far too easy for him to get into a plane and take off. If the president was prudent, they could have figured out the orb sooner. So one of my bigger problems with the movie is that the president was far too easy to convince to start attacking. She spent more time trying to justify not wanting to not attack rather than not wanting to not... get more information rather than not fighting. So it's like when Jeff Goldblum would say, hey, let's figure this out. She spent a lot of time considering it, but when anyone says, yeah, let's go attack, then it's like, yeah, sure, go for it. You have my approval. So it threw me off a little bit that why would, like, wouldn't you want to consider both sides? Granted, in this case, the aliens were attacking, but they didn't know that, and all they have was a probe that they were basically able to make crash. So it seemed kind of weird that there's no way that they didn't want to figure out a way to get more information. Next up, when the pilots are going to attack the mothership and try to get to the queen, what kind of EMPs do the aliens use that disables planes but not radios? So they send off some sort of what looked like to me an EMP, and it basically all the pilots crash land, but they're able to use their radios, and to me that seemed kind of weird because it's all electronic equipment. So since the radios are smaller in scale, wouldn't they be the easiest things to get knocked out? And I didn't see an explanation as to why, especially since I figure that the planes probably run on the same technology as far as batteries and power goes. Next up, and one of the things that was part of, or the kind of carryover from the first movie, but caller ID spoofing the MacBook virus of 2016. So in the first movie, we have Jeff Goldblum uploading a virus into the mothership to disable the shields. In this case, the aliens are trying to find the orb that the humans are protecting. And what they do is they hide the orb in a secure room, and then they spoof the radio emitting waves or whatever the orb is letting off in order to hide the or in order to lure the aliens away and attack them. So to me, it seems really convenient that there's always a way for people to find out a way to get around the aliens' defenses. And why don't the aliens have more sophisticated technology to say, hey, there's some sort of trickery going on here, or why can't they figure out what's going on with the orb? Or why is it all of a sudden that the orb is in this direction and it's moving differently than before, or something along those lines? Next up, though, who needs an Earth Defense Network when Data can interface with everything? So one of my favorite parts of both movies is Brent Spiner. I liked his acting, his lack of touch with humanity, so to speak, but his enthusiasm with all the alien technology and when everything starts to light up and how much he enjoys it. But one of the weird things this time around was it's interesting how he knows exactly how to use everything, and he's perfectly up to speed and full health after coming out of a 20-year coma. So it was kind of weird to me, but I actually kind of enjoyed it just because he was going over the top. He was he was the only one who seemed to be enjoying himself in this particular situation. I liked Liam Hemsworth part of it too, but for the difference here is that, at least for me, I guess maybe we had backstory with Brent Spiner being in the first movie, so maybe it's one of those things where if we had Will Smith back again that it would have seemed different. But it's the Liam Hemsworth character kind of works because he's paired with Jeff Goldblum. And finally, why doesn't anyone ask for actual proof from the auto-translating robot? So for me, the final bit of thing that kind of bugged me after the fact was we have a robot that can automatically learn our language, is telling us how to defeat these humans, but we're taking it at face value, where they made the point of saying the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But once they were able to defeat the aliens and the orb thing said that it's forming a resistance network to defeat these aliens, that was pretty much all we took at face value. Granted, we had Brent Spiner's backup to say that it's okay, but that seemed more like they were setting it up for the third movie in a trilogy of Independence Day movies rather than actually show. To me, it didn't seem perfectly. It didn't really work with me for how they wanted us to expect that it's okay to trust this or the sphere thing. For me, it was like, how do we know that it's not trying to lure us into another trap with another race of aliens that has different technology that we're not prepared for? So overall, the movie for me, I would say on its, if it was on its own, it would probably fit into that 50 to 60% range. It was decent enough. It stood on its own. The technology was futuristic enough where we don't have to really worry about, or we don't really have to match up with current technology. But in the realm of a sequel, I would in this case give it a little higher rating, not too much more. I would definitely not put it as high whatever Independence Day 1 was rated, but this one was well enough to the point where if it's a good continuation, we know that there were, or we see that we have a bigger set of aliens coming in to attack us, the fight with the queen and learning about more of the alien race worked for me, so it kind of worked. The only other two things that kind of bugged me is I liked in the first movie that we had the dates coming onto the screen. I don't know if I just missed that or wasn't paying enough attention, but I liked that they told us what day it was. The only time it really stood out that it was July 4th was when I forget the guy, but the guy who was playing Will Smith's stepson said that it's July 4th. So there was that. But other than that, I kind of missed that. I liked that whole part of the first movie. And the other thing was I didn't have enough of any motivational speeches in the movie. The defining moment of the first one was the president's speech for sure, to say that this is our Independence Day. I know that what the speech that the president gave this time around was supposed to be that motivating speech, but it didn't really sit that well with me. That it wasn't as inspiring. It didn't motivate me as much. It's more like, hey, this is still our Independence Day. We came together, so let's do this. So it was more of let's get the job done, and we've done it before, but nothing to the point where, I don't know. I don't know what, I probably couldn't have written a better speech, but I know the first one definitely was more inspiring. So as far as watchability, if you don't really care about it, then, or you haven't seen the first one, then don't go to the theater to see it. If you've seen the first one, it is a good movie. I might rewatch it later, like back to back with the first one when it releases on streaming services. But other than that, it's an average movie. It's another sci-fi adventure. It was fun. It's enjoyable to watch. But as long as you don't really think too much into it, then it should work itself out. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's Star Wars profile. And in this case, it's Order 66, otherwise known as Clone Protocol 66. This, in the Star Wars universe, is a protocol that's implanted, or that was implanted in all of the clones at their creation via biochip prior to the start of the Clone Wars. Originally, when the order was put in by Jedi Master Sifo Dyas, he did not have this chip because it was supposed to be a free will thing. But once Emperor Palpatine and Count Dooku found out about the clones, they had it installed to give them control over the clones, which could be activated by a voice, as we saw in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. But once activated, this would ensure that the clones would be totally obedient to whoever activated the chip. So in this case, the Emperor, and they would be totally loyal to the Empire. It also erased their existing biases and beliefs. So it was kind of like a soft reset where they would keep their whatever they were born, or whatever rank they were born into or created for, they would keep that, but all of their prior abilities and feelings and emotions would be wiped away, so they were totally loyal to the Empire. This also, or also part of the biochip, it caused the clones to view the Jedi as a hostile threat to be taken out, so that way once their memory was wiped, or basically like step one, wipe their memory, step two, attack the Jedi because they're a hostile force. That way the Emperor knew that the Jedi would be overwhelmed at this point in the war, so the order would work as flawlessly as possible. There were pockets of resistance that are pockets of clone troopers that did not turn on their Jedi, so that is where we see when we learn that from Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think Episode 6, that Darth Vader was responsible for hunting down the rest of the Jedi in the galaxy. That was basically the reason, because there were Jedi who escaped besides Obi-Wan Kenobi and Master Yoda. So that's all there really is for that. I didn't have a chance to look into what the other orders were, but basically they're just other protocols for clone operations, so to speak, but Order 66 is the most famous of the orders. So that's all there is for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into this week's You Can Relax segment. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by the all-new Patreon with a couple new levels and updated goal levels. So for those of you who support the Patreon, you get early access to the You Can Relax segment and blog post ahead before it's even posted to the webs. You also get early access to the app or feature review, Star Wars profile, film and TV show review as soon as it's ready. So rather than getting it in the weekend after I watch the, or a few days after I get it, you'll get it as soon as I have put it together. And things like a Q&A segment get added as well, an Android app, and as removed from the show, all of it can be found at patreon.com/patelN01. And of course, if you're not much for a subscription-based assistance to help promote and show your support for the show, you can always help out by visiting paypal.me/patelN01 and giving up whatever amount you feel comfortable with and noting whatever segment you like the most and posting your instant reviews that way as well. And of course, if you like this show and any show on the Geek.io network, there's always the Geek.io Patreon at patreon.com/geek.io where you can help expand the network, bring new shows, help with con coverage, and all of that great stuff. You can check all of that out and find out the many ways to support the shows in that network at geek-io.net. So that's all there is for that, and back to the show. So for this week's Relax segment, I wanted to share an app that I still use, and I've used for some time for photo sharing and collage creation, and it's an app called InstaSize. It's available for Android and iOS, and what it allows you to do is, basically when I started using it, it was for Instagram before they allowed bigger images to be shared. But let's say you do have an image that you want to share to Instagram that where it's a screenshot that where you can't fit the whole thing, or it's a wide image that does not necessarily fit to Instagram, but you still want to share the whole thing, you can create borders using InstaSize to share the full picture. So for example, if you check out my Instagram account at PatelN01, you'll see screenshots that would not normally fit in their box. So essentially, InstaSize fits that screenshot to the square size of Instagram, and then you can add your own background, whether it's a solid color or colors blurred out from the image itself, so you kind of get that cool effect. And then you can do other things like add text, and then add other images as well. So if you, let's say you go on vacation or you took multiple different pictures, and you can add those pictures in a couple of different styles. So you can do four square boxes or one wide image with three individual pictures or whatever have you. There's a whole row of different things. And then you can also add different background patterns if you want that. So if you want a more festive holiday look or seasonal look, you can do that as well. So those are some of the simple and straightforward features. For me, I have continued to use Instagram just because it's been the easiest and it's been the most straightforward app to use over many years than I've seen compared to other apps. It doesn't eat up my battery. It doesn't have, it does have ad overlays when you want to show or when you want to share your images to Instagram or Facebook or email or wherever, but it's not annoying to the fact where like it just randomly pops up, or I can't get rid of it when I don't need to, or like if I need to get rid of it, I need to close X, I can close it. It's very responsive even in that way. So it's just a well-designed and well-performing app, so definitely worth checking out. It is free. As I said, it's available for Android and iOS. So for me, when I want to share a picture or share multiple pictures of the collage, it is my go-to app. And for the podcast, it is actually also how I create the episode artwork with the different screenshots and to put them into one image. So depending on the size of the images, I arrange them accordingly. I resize them if I need to, set the background, and I've got my image. So it has multiple uses as you need to. So that's InstaSize, available for Android and iOS, and I definitely recommend checking it out if you just want a simple photo collage creating app, and one that doesn't require steps or tutorials or anything to learn or anything like that. And then the beauty of it is you can also set the resolution of the images when you save them. So if you want to share it at a higher resolution or a lower one, depending on how you're sharing it, you can set one of them as a default and then share that way as well. And then it gives you access to your full sharing menu if you're on Android. So if you want to share it to Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, email, SMS, however you want. There is no... there is a list that shows up as frequently used or top ways to share, but you can access any other app that's not listed there as well. So that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, or just want to get in touch with me, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com or find me on Twitter at patelin01. Of course, you can find all related links, like subscription links and past episodes, at patelin01.com. You can find this show or any show on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. And of course, if you like the episode or any episode you listen to, be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes or a thumbs up in Google Play Music. But that's all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.